Well, good morning, everyone. And thank you, worship team, for leading us. Well, can you believe it? This is the first Sunday in Advent. Christmas is on its way, and it is getting closer and closer. The reality of this, if it hasn't sunk in yet, is that we've already had our Christmas banquet. And that was what a great night that was. Steve mentioned it. Great food, awesome fellowship with one another. Not to mention many of you showcasing your talents and skills. It was a great night of laughter and fun. And Christmas for many of us is a wonderful time of the year. I know Bonnie tunes into that radio station that plays Christmas carols like 24/7 throughout the Christmas season and then a couple days beyond Christmas itself. And it is nice to hear happy music on the radio. Even if you have the occasional sad song like Christmas Shoes comes on. But it's a reminder at times in this time of year that for some, Christmas can be a difficult time of year. Right now in my extended family, there is a sadness that is prevailing for my Uncle Rob, my cousin Kim and Tim, and their families. 2 weeks ago, my Aunt Christine passed away. She was on the Thursday morning before busy around her house getting ready for Christmas. And my Aunt Christine, she loved Christmas and was busy doing one of the things that she loved to do, decorating her home for Christmas. And that afternoon, she started to feel some stomach discomfort. By evening, it had gotten worse and had spread to her back. And she went to bed early, hoping to get over whatever this was. In the middle of the night, she was in such pain that my Uncle Rob took her to the hospital. Once there, and once they had gotten to her, they were beside themselves to figure out what was going on inside of her. Her organs were beginning to shut down. The family was called, they were all there, and she passed into eternity. A wife, a mom, a grandmother. She had pancreatitis, and her body poisoned itself. And it happened so very fast, and has been a reminder to all of us of the frailty of life. Bonnie and I, we went to the funeral. And one of the first people we saw when we walked in the doors of the funeral home was my cousin Kim. And you just have to know, Kim loves the Lord so very much. And I saw her and I walked up to her and I gave her a big hug and held her tight and whispered in her ear, "Oh, Kim, I'm so sorry." Do you know what her response was? Hope. She spoke to me, spoke to the truth that she knows where her mom is, that she's with Jesus. To be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:8. And she said to me, Jay, her brother who passed away a few years ago from a heart attack, was welcoming his mom home to heaven. And Kim had this great confidence in the hope that she holds. We talked about how hard this time is to lose someone that you love. We talked about the days ahead, especially for her dad, my Uncle Rob. But in all of it, there was this undergirding hope that was sustaining her, that was sustaining my Uncle Rob. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hope is a powerful, powerful gift that can be ours through faith. And I saw it all over the place that day at my Aunt Christine's funeral. In fact, I heard faith expressed by my aunt as they read out of one of her journal entries as months before she had pondered death. And her comment was this: death is really just an address change from here to there. You think she had hope for the other side of eternity? Oh yeah, she did. And it came through her faith. So we're going to pray today, and we're going to kind of focus in on this first Sunday of Advent on hope. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for the worship that's already taken place here today. And Father God, as we come to your word now, I ask, would you, in Jesus' name, forgive me my sins, cleanse me. Holy Spirit, please come and fill me up. And Father, this morning, as we look into your word, God, I know, I just know that there is a word here for someone today, maybe a whole bunch of someone's today, that you want to speak to them. So Lord Jesus, in your name, I want to pray against distractions so they don't miss the word that you want to say to them. God, that you would encourage and build up today, and you would challenge. So Jesus, please come even now and preach this message with me today, I pray. In your name, Jesus, amen. Well, one of my favorite Christmas passages is found in Luke 2. And we might be back here a few times over the next couple weeks, but Mary and Joseph have made their way to Bethlehem, and they found a place to stay, and Jesus has kind of arrived, and we pick up the story in Luke 2:8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Shepherds. The angel appeared to shepherds. Now, I think that's pretty awesome. But shepherds, in many ways, were considered the most common of people, even below those who were common. They were not rulers. They weren't government officials. They were not the well-to-do people of that time. And they would have been way, way, way down the list of the hierarchy of who you might have thought those angels would appear to make an announcement of this magnitude. You know, but God chose to make this announcement to shepherds. I think it's awesome. Because of what it says about God and how it might encourage us. Because God chose those the world thought little of to give this important news to. And our Lord, he has a wonderful pattern of doing that throughout the Bible. Taking those people the world would consider weak or insignificant, and working his wonders in them and through them. But there's another reason I think he chose the shepherds. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They went to see. They got off their keisters and they moved. They went to see the Anointed One, the Savior, the Christ that had been born. What was it that moved them? And here's the tie-in. Hope. Hope. Sure, angels had announced this, and that would have gotten the adrenaline going in the moment. But it was a bit of a hike into town, and Bethlehem was as busy as it had ever been, and they were looking for a baby in a place that kept animals. Sounds like it might have been a little inconvenient to do this. But they went because they had a hope that they would see the one the angels had spoken of. And that hope moved them. The hope moved them to go. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now, you might think, hey, if angels appeared, anybody would go, right? But I don't think so. Because the rich, the well-to-do of that time, would have heard wrapped in cloths and laying in a feeding trough and thought, you know what? I must have really had some bad hummus tonight. Because there's just no way. There is no way the Savior, the Messiah, is going to be born in a place like that, in a nowhere town called Bethlehem. But the shepherds, they heard, and they believed, and they had hope. And that hope moved them, and they went looking for the Savior. Well, guess what they found? The Messiah, the long-awaited one. And they went. And I just love the fact, this was not planned, by the way, that Roseanne Robbins, who has done our first banner for this year for our Sunday of Hope, chose the shepherds going to see Jesus as the hope banner. I love it. I love how God works behind the scenes and causes everything to work together. Because they went to see. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. What they had hoped for had been made real because they acted with faith and went to find Jesus. Hope. Hope is a gift. And hope, so often, what it can do is move us to action. But the fuel behind hope is faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So let me ask you a question this morning. What are you hoping for? What are you hoping for? I mean, have some of you kind of dropped hints maybe to your parents or, you know, your special someone in your life? Here's what I'd like to get for Christmas. You know, and you're really hoping. I mean, you're trying to kind of like maybe manipulate a little bit, putting like ads in front of people. Hey, look at this. Isn't this cool? And you're really hoping to find that under the tree come Christmas morning. Or think about this. What are you hoping for when it comes to your education? I mean, is there a college, is there a university that, I mean, you guys are hoping to get into one day and you're working hard in that direction? And what are you hoping for when it comes to a career? Is there a job that you one day hope to have, you want to get? Or maybe it's a person. A person you hope to one day be married to. That really, really awesome guy or that really awesome girl, and you hope. You have this idea in your head of what they're going to be like. Or maybe you're already in a marriage. Maybe you've been in it for a short time, maybe a long time, maybe a really, really long time. But what do you hope for that marriage? And what about your relationship with God, with Jesus? What is your hope in that relationship? See, I think there's all kinds of hopes that we have. All kinds. But there's another question I think we need to ask ourselves. And that question might seem like it's a little weird. And well, you guys know me, so maybe it is a little weird. But I think this is a very important question. What do you have right now? What do you have right now? Because I want to make this suggestion. That what you have right now might stand in the way of what you hope for. That what you have right now may stand in the way of what you hope for. Think about it. Some of you have a certain career that you want to go into. And to pursue that career, well, it's going to be a risk. You're going to have to leave the job that you have, or maybe you need to leave the job you have and get an education that you need for that career that you hope for. And that is scary because you have way more confidence in the job that you have right now than the one that you hope for. So you stay in the job that you have, never acting on that hope for something more because your confidence is in what you have now, not in what you hope for. Or maybe there comes a time in your life that you're in a dating relationship with someone. And they're not who you hope for, but they're who you have. And you have friends in your life, and they're saying, hey, you know what? I don't think this person is for you. I don't. They're like, oh, no. Just, no. They don't quite treat you right. You know, and really, they're a bum. They're so lazy. What's going to become of them? You know, and oh, my goodness. They're just not the right person for you. They're so self-centered. And they're so nice about it. Well, kind of. They're your friends. They care. But who you have right now stands in the way of what you hope for. Because you have way more confidence in that relationship than the one you hope for. And so you stay in the relationship because of that confidence. Well, this is who I have. It's not who I hope for, but it's who I have. Or what about the marriage you're in? Hasn't turned out to be the one you hope for. It's the one you have. It's not the one you hope for, but it's the one you have. And to have the one you hope for would probably mean some big changes. In fact, to have the one you hope for might mean a lot of work on your part. And you kind of look at all that work and go like, oh, that's going to take some time. It's going to be so difficult. And so you settle for the marriage that you have, not the one you hope for. Because at least the one that you have, you're comfortable with the amount of time and work you need to put in to maintain it, rather than working towards the marriage you hope for. Or you have a relationship with God, and you had such high hopes for what that would be like. And you could just sit and wait for all his goodness as you hope to feel his presence. And you could just stay right where you are and hope to feel something again. And you could hold on to who you are and never let Jesus change you from the inside. And you could be safe, never leave home, never let the walls down. But you know, Jesus is calling you higher. Jesus is calling you deeper. But where will you go to where he has called you? Is what you have right now getting in the way of what you have hoped for? See, the point I am trying to make this morning, and some of you have probably already gotten it, is that hope moves us. When there is something that we are hoping for, it ought to move us. That's why I use Hebrews 11:1, because it's fueled by faith. I mean, as we live our lives, we are a part of creating our future. Okay, and I think we need to kind of grasp that. We have a part in creating our future. And so there is no misunderstanding today. I am not talking about the name it and claim it prosperity kind of heresy. I am not talking about strong-arming God into anything or finding that Jesus formula to get Jesus to do exactly what we want him to do, to manipulate him that way. Because all that is just crazy talk. What I am talking about this morning is the Heavenly Father who loves you. He loves you. And he has placed in you his dreams for you. He's put those in your heart, and they show up in the hopes that you have for the kind of career he is calling you to the type of person you hope to date one day and have a relationship with, to the hope you have for the awesome marriage relationship with the love of your life in the marriage you are in. And maybe right now, that marriage is not what you hoped for, but it sure could be with God's help and some effort on your part. But is that hope for what could be? That hope can move you. It can move you to put forth effort like the shepherds did as they went to find Jesus. They put forth effort and they got off their keisters and they went into Bethlehem to look for the Savior. My friends, we gotta understand this, that God is for us putting effort in. God is for us putting effort forward and us moving forward in hope, taking part in creating the very future that you hope for and that our Heavenly Father dreams of for you. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. The King James said it this way: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And that word that's translated being sure or substance elsewhere is translated confidence or assurance. And the Greek word itself, and I love trying to pronounce these Greek words, is hypostasis. And you know it is a rich word when they translate it so many different ways, trying to bring clarity to the word in English. Faith is a hypostasis of things hoped for. And what is that getting at? Well, there are realities for which we have no material evidence, though they are not less real for that. Faith enables us to know they exist. And while they have no certainty apart from faith, faith does give us genuine certainty. Hypostasis, this confidence, literally means an undergirding. Like a steel structure is built to hold up a bridge, so too does faith hold up our hope. And that faith leads my Uncle Rob to know he will see his wife again. That faith leads my cousin Kim to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she is going to see her mom again on the other side of eternity. And that assurance, that confidence, that comfort helps them move forward on this side of eternity while they wait for that day when they will see their wife and mom again. But hope helps them move forward. And our faith is in God. Our faith is in the God of the Bible, and we cannot miss this. This is a key thought. Our faith is placed in God. Our trust is in Him. And that faith undergirds our hope as He leads us through this one and only life that He has gifted to us. And the hopes we have for a career, the hopes we have for the person that we want to marry one day, or the marriage that we have right now, comes about by faith in Him and following His lead. And we put forth effort as hope moves us. You know, I know this guy. He was an accomplished refrigeration mechanic. He was making really good money, but God began to birth a dream in him, and he had a hope that one day he could become a worship pastor, a pastor of creative arts. And so he had a really good job, and over time, he ended up in a place called Regina, happened to have a Bible college right there, and he started going to school, and this hope just kind of grew and grew in him. And then the college moved to Calgary, so he moved to Calgary because of the hope to live out the dream that God had birthed in his heart. His wife was working, but then she got pregnant, and he was going to work in the summer. Then he broke his leg. I mean, things were just crazy. Things were so tight and so difficult. But faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And they got through it all and much more. And that hope became a reality. That hope became a reality because Dan Hogan is our pastor of worship and creative arts. A few weeks ago, many of you with me had the privilege to hear Sean Greenwood share about the hope he had and the calling placed upon his life to be a teacher. But he had to let go of what he had to go back to school. And oh my goodness, there have been all kinds of trials that he has gone through as he has walked through, as he's allowed hope to move him to proceed towards the calling on his life to be a teacher. I mean, he left his job. He went back to school. He's got a pretty big family. But God had placed a hope in him. And you all know, what is Sean today? A teacher. He's a teacher. And the road that Dan has walked and like Sean has walked is one that all of us, should we take the Lord at his word? Should we live a life of trust, of faith in him? we will walk. And it's not always easy, but we're moving towards the dreams and aspirations that we have, the hope that we have that God birthed within us. I know this girl, and she had really high standards. In fact, of the guy that she wanted to date one day and hope to marry, she had these like crazy high standards, and all through high school, never once had a date. Not one date. But then she went off to school, went to college. It was a Bible school, and there were some guys there that liked her. So she went out with them, and not one of them kind of met the standard that she had set for herself. But then there was this one year, and there was a guy at the school, at the college, every girl wanted to date. Honestly, he looked like a surfer dude. But every girl wanted to date this guy, and this girl dated him. They went out for months, and she realized after a number of months of dating him that where his life was going and where she felt God was calling her to go with her life did not align, and she ended the relationship. Her friends took her aside and said, "Are you insane? Look at who you had. Why would you? You broke up with him." And she just said, "No, he's not the one for me." And she had these high standards. She finished Bible school 4 years. Didn't have a guy in her life. Began to think, "Lord, maybe you just want me to be single, be a missionary or something." And so she came back for seminary. Still, she had this hope for that godly man that she'd been holding out for. You see, that hope became a reality because she dated a guy and married him who she had been friends with for 4 years. The entire time that she was at college, she'd been friends with this guy. He had become a pastor, and let me just say, I know this story really, really well because it's about my sister, Julie. And I was giving the toast at her wedding to the bride. And I said that Lyle was a gift to her for trusting God. She had a hope for what the man she would give her heart to would look like. The kind of character he would have. The commitment he'd have to Jesus and putting Jesus first. And it took longer, way longer than she thought, for that hope to become a reality. But it did. What is God placing in you? What are the hopes he has placed in you? And how do you know if the hope you have is from God? Well, let me give you a couple of things you can do to check this out. First off, you got to make sure it lines up with the scriptures. The hope that he gives you is going to line up with the word of God. If it's calling you to do something that's against what God is saying to do within the Bible, you know it's not from him. It's not from him. Second, as you have these hopes come up within you, you have to bring that hope into the light of prayer. And let me tell you, especially for those of you in this section and this kind of age that you're at, bring that hope to God and say, "Lord, this is what I'm hoping for. This is what I want." And you keep bringing it to him consistently. And one of two things will happen. Either your heart for that is going to grow and get bigger and bigger, and you're going to be filled with passion for that, whether it's a career, you know, someplace God's calling you, or it's going to fade away. Because it's not of him. But we have got to bring our hopes into the light of prayer and allow God to work in us. It doesn't matter if we're younger or older, we still do this. Bring it all to God in prayer and watch what happens within us. And lastly, with the hopes that we have got to get some godly men and some godly women around us for their counsel. And I'm saying we need godly people because here's the key. They've got to tell you the truth. Hey, I think we all know we can always find people to get around us that will tell us what we want to hear. We can always find those people who will tell us what we want to hear. But a godly man and a godly woman who loves you, who you come to saying, like, "This is a hope. I feel it's being birthed in me. What do you think?" They will tell you the truth. They'll seek God out for you in prayer. They'll come back to you with answers. We seek godly counsel. listen to it. We weigh it out. You know, our Heavenly Father, okay, He loves us so much. I mean, we know this. He sent Jesus to earth. And one of the great reasons He sent Jesus was for hope. The hope that we have in Jesus for all He accomplished for us on the cross, caring for our sins, making the way open so we could have a relationship with God. I mean, we have been released from apathy as Christians. We have been released from despair, and we have been released to hope, and a hope that moves us forward for God's glory, revealed in you and through you as you trust in Him. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. You know, your Heavenly Father has dreams for you. He has dreams for you, and He places them in your heart, and they come out as the hopes we have. Look to Him. Listen to Him. Build that relationship with Him. And let that hope move you. For some of you this morning, you're going to have to let go of what you have right now. Even though you have confidence in what you have, if you begin to understand that hope He's placed there is what He wants for you, and you check it out with friends, you look up, you go through the Word of God, you bring it into the light of prayer, and that passion just gets bigger and bigger. Because God's called you to something. He's created you for something. He's put His dream in you, and it's coming out as your hopes. But you have to be tight with Him. You know, I hope you know, at least, that God wants to have a great relationship with you. He wants to have a great relationship with you. And He's calling you. He's calling you higher. He's calling you deeper. And I'm praying that that hope for that better, greater relationship with Him will move you as you place your faith in Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank You so much. Lord, I thank You. This morning as we sit here, we're in this auditorium, and we are surrounded by past paintings by artists from within this church. And today, many of those paintings have the word hope on them. God, I pray that they might inspire, Lord, that the hopes that my friends have, Lord, that are from You, would burn within them. Those hopes would move them. Lord, that hope might be to a different career. Oh boy, that's scary. Terrifying. Lord, that hope might be for a family member or a friend to know You as Lord and Savior. And I pray that hope would move us to share all that You've done for us, Jesus. That hope, Lord, might be for a better marriage relationship that we're in right now. And oh God, would You allow that hope within my family, my friends here, Lord, to move them, to put in the time and the effort to build that relationship better, closer, more intimate. Lord, I pray that hopes that You place within us would move us, that we'd say goodbye to apathy, we'd say goodbye to feeling discouraged, and walk into that hope. Let it move us. Even when the road is difficult, may we move forward with You, Jesus, as we place our faith in You. I ask this, and I pray all these things, Jesus, in Your name.